Okay, it's going to be all right. Even if we don't feel it, see it, it's all right. But today I want to encourage you, just this in between, as you're getting ready to go into the new year, next year I want to have a New Year's message to begin the new year with. I do that every year, try to give us a foundation, and usually it's a 2 or 3 part series to start the new year on, and where we're headed, what's going on, and wherever God's leading us for that. But for this is the in-between message. And I just titled this one, God is All That Matters. And this is, I had so many titles going through my mind, but when it came down to it, it's just that God is all that matters. And that's where we've got to focus, refocus, and keep focus, is God is all that matters. This is out of the New International Version, and it's out of Romans chapter 5, so I'll read this to you. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. And everybody, really, let this sink in. I'm not going to rush through it. I'm going to read it to you a little slower. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, everybody hear that? You really need to let that soak in. He did it while we were still sinners, not after we cleaned up our act. And so, everyone in this room, each one of us here today, we need to be looking to starting off this year on the right foundation, and that is, I can't work my way to God. And my good works don't impress the Lord at all. My righteousness, he says, is as what? Filthy rags before the Lord. And so God demonstrates, he proved his love, he showed it. And this, while we were still sinners, Christ went ahead and died for us when we didn't deserve it. And since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him, through Jesus? So it's all about Jesus. Justified, and we'll talk about that word. Well, we'll just talk about it now. That word, since we have been justified by his blood. What does justified mean? It means that I have been legally, by the law, fulfilled through Christ. I have been declared just when I'm not just, because another has taken my place and taken my punishment upon himself. But he says, as far as I'm concerned, what Jesus Christ, as far as I'm concerned and you're concerned, what Jesus did for you and me made us in the eyes of God that were justified, just as if I'd never sinned. And if you want a definition, that's what justified, when it boils down to it, and just a good, you know, common sense, what does this word really mean to me where I can grasp it? Justified means, when I'm justified before the Lord, is just as if I'd never sinned. That's how God sees me and cleanses me that way. And he purifies and restores me to God, to the Father Jesus does. That's what the whole crucifixion experience on the cross was about, and the resurrection and all. And I come to Christ, I confess and repent of my sins, and his blood atones for my sins, and I'm justified. And God's looking at me not as Tony the sinner, he's looking at you not as you the sinner, but as you the justified, because of he sees the blood of Jesus applied to your heart. And just as if you'd never sinned, and you're restored that way. That is a very undeserved position to be in a place and before God. And he makes us his children, and he puts his mark on us, and he writes our name in his book of life. And he says, so if we, and it says this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from what? God's wrath. Through him. So those of you who are feeling like that you're suffering the wrath of God, you can't be. You can't be. Now, God disciplines people, and that's not his wrath. He corrects us like a father corrects his children. But listen to this. It says, when we were his enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? And above that it says, and we are saved from God's wrath through Jesus. So God is not punishing anyone in this room. God is not out to get you. And I don't know some of you, but I've done this, and I've had others say, and I've done this, and I do this at different times. I take personal responsibility for things that go wrong in the church or the world, and I feel like I let the Lord down. Maybe I didn't pray enough. maybe I didn't preach well enough, you know, or this stuff wouldn't be happening. Did anybody ever do that? Any of you feel like that it's all on you? Yeah, sure. And you didn't do enough. And this is why it's happening. And then we need to hear stuff like this, and we need to hear God's word saying, hey, look, I died for you when you were still sinners. And we're saved from God's wrath through Jesus, so there's no wrath on us. And for if when we were God's enemies, and it's like, yes, when you're not a Christian, you're God's enemy because you're serving the devil and he has control of you and he's definitely God's enemy. And it says we were God's enemies and we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, Jesus Christ. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? So all of us that like to carry the guilt of the world on us and the responsibility for the world, and there's several hands went up. So I'm glad to know this morning that you're ministering to me through doing that this morning, because I feel like, am I the only nutcase that does that? You know, where did God appoint me to carry the burdens of the world and say, well, the reason it went is going wrong is because you didn't do enough, and yet a whole bunch of us feel that way. But at the same time, I have to say, you know, give you much credit, because you take it so personal and you want so much for righteousness to prevail. Right now, every one of us in this room, we want righteousness to prevail. And I'll tell you something else I'm praying for. I'm praying for the righteousness of God to prevail, and I'm praying for justice. I am praying for God's justice, and that his hand fall upon the wicked, and God deliver his righteous ones. And so we need to hear this to know God can do that. He's already done it through Jesus Christ to redeem us from the clutches of the devil. And so let me finish this. This is just so good. I just start getting into it. But when we were God's enemies, we're reconciled to him. It says, so how much more have we been reconciled? Shall we be saved through his life? And not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom now we have now received reconciliation. What a powerful bunch of verses. And that's why I want to give it to you right in between here, so that all of us who carry the burdens of the world and take it on ourselves can know that there's only one who can bear the burdens of the world. We're to pray, and I think, just go ahead and accept this with me this morning. Let's all accept this. The truth is, we can never really pray enough. We can never really preach well enough. We can never teach well enough. We can never minister well enough. We can never witness well enough. We're just people. We can never do it well enough. That's why Jesus Christ is the one we depend on. And so when we get too over-responsible, we have to give that to him and say, Lord, I know I don't pray well enough. I know I don't pray good enough. There's times you tell me to pray and I get distracted. Anybody ever do that? You know he's prompting you to pray and then something happens and you go outside or this or that. You get on you answer it, and or you start texting, and then you forget about it, and later you're reminded, and it's like, and you sense it that the Lord was disappointed in you, because he said, I wanted you to pray then. I want you to put me before that phone. Or before, for me, I want you to put that before that critter you just saw out there. You know, I walk outside and it's like, oh, look at that. And God has already said, I want you to pray right now. And I'm like, where's that thing going? And then I'm totally forgetting. Then later it's like, you know, is a hawk that important? Is a buzzard? You know, and I've got two buzzards. This is weird. This is not part of the message, but it just, you know, it's part of my life out there. I get rid of these pigs. There's a lot of wild hogs that come in, and so, you know, and I have a place I take them, and the buzzards circle, and there they go. I think they're so used to it, they're carrying bottles of ketchup over there now and waiting. But there's two buzzards, and I go out. I don't know how this works. There's two big old buzzards, and a lot of morning, I see them, and they're circling. They hang out there all the time. But if I go out and I have that rifle on my shoulder, those two buzzards land on the pole right outside my fence. And they're waiting. And so, you know, my imagination, got your ketchup bottles. And they used to fly when I'd walk up, you know, close to the pole. Not anymore. They sit there and they're looking, and it's like, they're waiting. They you know, they're waiting. No, where's breakfast? Go get breakfast. Yeah, we're going to have sausage this morning. So anyway, those kind of things can distract us. And I even talk to them now. And you know how birds are. Once they get used to it, you talk to them and they'll, you know how they cock their heads? So there's two buzzards cocking their heads, you know. And then another part of me says, don't make too good of friends with them, you know, because in the end, you know, they may not be your best friend. So, but my point is, things like that that we don't even think about are just little things in the house will pull us away, and we don't put our priority there. And maybe that's where, instead of us being, you know, praying good enough, witnessing well enough, reading enough scripture, and taking that all on ourselves, perhaps we ought to just kind of redefine our focus here and say, you know, maybe if I'm letting the Lord down, it's when I don't follow His prompting the moment He prompts me. And we can probably all assume responsibility there, can't we? Because we blow it a lot of times, and I do too. And He'll tell me, He'll put on my heart to call somebody or text them. And now I'll say, oh, I'm going to do that. And then what happens? All this stuff. And then you find out that they weren't feeling well, or they had depression, or something was wrong. Do it when God says to do it. So don't take on the problems of the world. Jesus Christ died on that cross and rose again to take on the problems of the world. I'm to focus on Him and stay reminded that it's Jesus Christ that fixes people, not me, not any of us. And so, well, let's just agree, we can never pray enough, be good enough, or anything else, and Jesus knows that, and He accepts that. That's why He died in our place, and He says, no, you're not good enough, but I love you anyway. And so I'm going to die in your place and rise again, and I just want you to focus on me, and maybe if we just need to trust Him more to take care of the problems of the world instead of us taking them on ourselves. And maybe a lot of marriages, husbands and wives and kids and families and relatives, maybe they would be much happier if we quit trying to fix them and took their problems to Christ and asked Him to fix them instead. I don't know about you, but sometimes I just want to fix kids. So don't you want to fix kids? Anybody else want to? Yeah, okay, yeah, fix kids. And you just wear yourself out trying to fix the kids, our grandkids for some of you, or you want to fix your friends, you want to fix, and God just, maybe He allows things to happen that frustrates us to no end with trying to fix everybody, to say, I'm the fixer, I'm the great physician, you are to pray for me to do it. You're to have the faith for me to do it, but I'll take that on. I'm the one that does that in my way, in my time. So, okay, let's get in. I'll give you these points. And we read this passage. So let me give you the first, just two or three of these bullet, you know, two or three, one or two, seven or eight, nine, ten, of these points here. God's Word, listen, the first point, God's Word, we have to know this. And we need to focus as we're going in now to this new year. We don't know what this year's going to bring. We never do, but we sure don't right now. I know what I'm praying for it to bring, and I know what I'm trying to have, at least a mustard seed of faith for it to bring, but only God knows. And of everything for the future is in His hands, and we need to leave it in His hands and trust Him. Do you have trouble with that once in a while? Do you have trouble trusting God with the future? I mean, be honest. In a lot of places, I could never ask this question because people get mad and say, how dare you ask that? You know, of course we all do. Most everybody has some issues sometimes trusting God with the future. We want to coax Him and kind of encourage Him. We want to kind of pressure Him. Anybody do that around here? Yeah, yeah, okay. Maybe I can manipulate the Lord into doing what I want done, the way I see it. And he, you know, I think God, instead of getting mad, He just smiles. I really do. I don't think He gets mad at that. I think He just smiles, said, go ahead, T, wear yourself out. My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are, you know, not your thoughts. And so but go ahead and do your thing and tell me how you want everything to come out in life. I've told Him a bunch here in the last couple of months. Haven't you? And how this ought to be. And I, you know, and it's like, are you sleeping? Do you see all this? And don't you feel that way sometimes? And I know it's like, come on, Tony, get over it. You know, I know what's going on. Do you? No, I don't know. Obviously, I don't know what's going on. I know what I think is going on. But let me ask you this. Do we know anything except what's here? What we perceive doesn't mean it's the truth. And what I think and my rules and my ethics or whatever, that doesn't mean that it's right. And I judge the world and people, and we all do, don't we? By our background, what's happened to us, not happened to us, through our little filters and our experiences, and we make all these decisions, and who in the world says that's right? How do I know I'm right? And the only right is what's in here. You like that, do you? It's true when you think about it. And so this is not meant to kind of bring us down, but it's to say, just get us back into reality with God. We impose so much on people, and we want them to conform to our standards, and we're not even conforming to God's standards. Our standards. And sometimes I want to impose my standards on God. How could you let this happen? Wow. And he has to remind me, I'm the potter, you're the clay. So get over it. So God, listen, God's word is the final word, but I want to focus this on you today, you and me, and know this, what God says. You read all this when I took some time in this passage to talk about how much he loves us in our sin, even when we were sinners, and he did all this for us. So I want you to know this. God's word's the final word, and you know what that final, here are some of the things God's final word says about you and me. And number one, you are what God says you are, not what people say you are. Listen to me. You are what God says you are, not what people say you are. Let's start off this new year. You've heard some of this way back, and I used to hit on this more, and I let it go by for a few years, and it's like the Lord brought it back, said, you've been hitting on a lot of things and giving encouragement. Right now, we need to talk about the individual and each person and get them where they know that I love them and I'm accepting them. And in spite of all the difficulties and sins in everybody's lives, I love them very much. And so that's what this message is about. Don't let anyone, anything, and no matter, I don't care, a local, someone you live with, or people that might be in the office or anything, don't let them define you. And it's a challenge. Don't let another state define you. Is everybody with me? There's a state a lot further west that all of its tradition, all of its clothing, styles, everything, haircuts, you know, it defines America. Why do we do that? Somebody will come up with a new hairstyle way out there, and before you know it, it's sweeping through, or they've got some new pants for you to wear, or a different kind of shoes. Think about it. And the whole world takes it on because one state defines fashion. And what is fashion? What some idiot has decided they want to make $1 billion on. You ever thought about it? Hey, let's do this and say it's the latest. And of course, that state out there, anything that anybody's, they believe anything. And so, except the truth, God's truth. And so, here it comes across the nation, and people change their hairstyles. They change their clothing. They change the way they talk. I've seen people, you know, you change the way they speak to each other. It's like, where'd that come from? Came from the West. From that state out there that's not a part of the rest of us. There's a glitch out there. You know, anyway, I can't go any further with that. God, get on to me. But don't let politics, friends, family define who you are. You be who God says you are. In Romans 8, you need to read through Romans 8. I wish I had the time to really expound on this. But Romans 8 says that God has not given you the spirit of fear, but what? The spirit of sonship, daughtership. God has said, you're my own, and I tell you who to be. You're my child, and you're an heir, a co-heir with Jesus Christ. And don't let anybody else make you or mold you. You with me? My goodness. And then there's so many people that they're lined up out there trying to conform you to their standards. And you don't want to buy into that. And you are what God says you are because Jesus died for you. And when you ask Him into your heart, your body becomes the temple of living God, the temple of the Holy Spirit. You belong to God, to Jesus. And He's the only one who needs to be able to tell you how to look, how to dress, what to do. Am I right? You can say yes. It's okay. Okay. And if you don't believe me, you can say no too. I'll get mad, but then I'll get over it. Most people live with this false belief. You ready for this? Most people live with the false belief that they have to be approved by others or meet other people's standards to feel good about themselves. Anybody here struggle with that? Okay, thanks. You think I haven't as a pastor over the years? I've gotten crustier, you know, okay, a little harder, but I used to really struggle with people trying to conform me and do my hair and make me dress a certain way, and you're nodding over there because you saw all that, and it was rough in those early years, and I had to go through a lot of hell on earth to finally learn, Tony, the only thing you ever need to be concerned with is what God is concerned with. Who does God want you to be? How does God want you to dress? How does God want you to speak? Who does He want you to be? And so, if you have that false belief to feel good about yourself that somebody has to approve of you, then you, right now, I would ask you to just confess it like it as a sin, and that as long as you're trying to meet other people's standards, you're not meeting God's standards. Does that make sense? If I'm distracted trying to meet what somebody else lays out for me, then I'm distracted from who God wants me to be. And God has put you here and gifted you with spiritual gifts and abilities and the Holy Spirit's filling. Listen, friends, you're God's person. He died for you. He redeemed you. You're special to Him. He wants you to feel good about what He says about you. Listen, when people judge you and criticize you and talk about you, you need to ask this. Are they doing this according to God's word or their word? And before you buy into somebody's criticism, ask yourself, is what they're saying about me some violation of Scripture, or is it just some violation of what they think I ought to do and be? And don't let yourself, listen, you say, is there something behind this? Yeah, and there is. And there's something behind this on a local level, because there are people who are going to want to tell you and me how to live, dress, speak, act, when to get up, when to go to bed. They're going to try to tell, listen, and you're going to be called on by the Lord to follow His standards, His word, and we could very easily, somewhere along the line, may not be right now, and it may be, you know, but wherever it is, we are all going to be called sooner or later to do what they had to do in the book of Acts and say we must obey God rather than men. And we're not going to do it. I am not going to become a good little socialist. Okay? And I don't have any intention of becoming a good little boy for somebody next door. I'm who God made me. You're who God made you. Now, we ought to always be, listen to me, that's no excuse not to be changing, to become who God wants us to be, but don't you change for somebody else, because if you start that business, if you ever change for somebody else, did you learn to listen through that? Because once you start that, then they want you to do something else, and they want you to do something else, and it never ends. Be who God puts you here to be. I just asked this question. I wrote a little question down here. How much of your life have you spent worrying about what someone else's opinion is of you? Think about that. If somebody criticizes you, does it bother you for days? How many of you have it? Anybody have an issue with that? Okay. Okay. See? A bunch of us. But let me ask you this, and nobody's coming down on you, because me too. I used to do it more than I do now. But what is that God's will? Is that what God wants us doing? I want to ask you something. We've had the greatest, one of the best object lessons in front of us, and I'm not here. Please don't hear me. I've tried not to. You know, but I have watched the president. And I've had to learn from him something that's to help me in my ministry. You know what it is? No matter what you think of him, I'm going to give him credit for this right here. He has taken more abuse and more criticism and had more vile things said against him, and it did not change him one bit. And I think if you don't learn anything else from that man, let God use that as an example to say, and that's the way every Christian on this earth ought to be. You focus on Jesus Christ. He's your mission and what he's called you to do. And it doesn't make one bit of difference what somebody else thinks. It's never stopped him, and it should never stop any of us. Who cares? That guy's got a hide so thick, I tell you what, I think bullets would bounce off of it. Isn't that what we're all supposed to be like? To where we don't give in to anybody else anything? I think, friends, we have been programmed into believing that, listen to this, that our self-worth is made up of our performance plus somebody else's opinion. Have you ever thought about it? How many of us have been led to believe, conned, if you want to put it that way, we have been programmed to believe that my self-worth is based on what? My performance plus what somebody else thinks. And when I began to base who I am and how I feel about myself on my works and what somebody else approves or disapproves of my works, I'll never be happy again. It'll steal my joy. When you build your security or success on what other people think of you, you're going to become dependent on their opinion. I know this may seem like, well, you're digging in there and messing with us today. We've got to pull out of this and don't let people dictate our lives anymore. Jesus put us here to love one another, not to dictate to one another. You with me? And there's a bunch of folks. This is all coming because there's a bunch of people wanting to dictate our lives. And friends, this message is to say, start practicing now on a local level. Don't let the world, isn't that what it says? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That you can prove what's that good and acceptable and perfect will of God in Christ Jesus. So don't be conformed to anything out here. Conform to who Jesus Christ put you here to be. Do what Jesus Christ tells you to do. And the truth is, listen to me, you don't have to be successful and you don't have to please others to have self-worth. Why? Now back to what we read just a moment ago. Jesus Christ, listen to me, Jesus Christ is pleased with you right where you are right now today. He died for you when you were a sinner. He is pleased with you. Why? Because you're a good person? Because you have great works? Because you give a lot of money? Because you're this? No. Why is God pleased with you? How can I make a statement like that this morning? God is pleased with each one of you because you have asked His Son Jesus into your hearts and confessed your sins, and God is very pleased with you for that. And you need to sit back and relax and be okay with yourself. So I'm not the most successful person in the world in the world's eyes, but I am successful in the eyes of the Lord because I accepted Jesus Christ as Him as my Savior and Lord, and I still believe in Him. And that's success. That's greatness in the kingdom of God. You need to go into this new year knowing that in your heart that God loves you where you are because you're His child. We love our kids, don't we? We don't like everything they do, but do we still love the children? Yes. Of course we do. God doesn't like everything we do or say, but He sure loves us. And He doesn't ever give up. He'll never leave us or forsake us. So accept the fact that God's pleased with you where you are, and you're fully pleasing to God because you believe in Jesus Christ. And any standard of performance, Christian performance, anything else that's used to gain self-worth, that's not biblical. My self-worth comes from God saying, you are my child and I put your spirit into your heart and you're a co-heir with Jesus Christ, and everything He has up here, you're going to have, and I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. Now that's good for self-esteem. And He says, I'll never let anybody take you out of my hand, ever. And that's security. You can't trust much else in this world, and I don't know, it could get even more shaky than it is now, but we can trust God. So let me give you this other point, and we'll try to wrap this up. God's truth is the ultimate truth. You say, we know that. Okay, I'm going to say it again then. God's truth is the ultimate truth. It's the only truth. You say, why are you stressing that? Because there are so many out there that want you to believe that what they say and what they think and what they believe is the truth. And there's only one truth. Oh, did I, is God calling? Did I go too long? We'll pause there for that's the heavenly telephone connection. It may be Michael the Archangel. He calls once in a while, and then he's got another demon to slay. So God's truth is the ultimate truth, and that truth is that Almighty God, listen to this, here's the ultimate truth. Almighty God loves you so much, He sent His only Son to die for you on the cross. Almighty God loves you so much that He raised His Son from the dead. Almighty God loves you so much that when you asked that Son, Jesus Christ, into your heart, He washed away all your sins. He redeemed you. He reconciled you. He forgave you. And nobody can ever take you away from Him. You were His enemy, and now you're His precious child. God brought you to Himself through the death of His own Son, Jesus Christ, not by any works. What does it say? By grace we are saved through faith. This is not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. You get that? Not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. God takes great delight in you. And if you'll read Romans 8:31, when you get a chance, it says, if God is for us, then who can be against us? God did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for who? You. All of us. And it says, if He gave His Son up for us all, which He did, then He'll surely give you all things. Man, you've got to hang in there and believe. You're acceptable to God right now by faith in Jesus Christ, right here, right now. And you'll never be more acceptable to God anywhere in your life than you are right now. You are the righteousness of Christ because Jesus Christ lives in you. Christ in you, your hope of glory. I know this is a little different than a lot of messages I've been bringing, but God just put it on my heart, man, I want my people to be encouraged. I want them to know that I am not disappointed in them. I want them to know that they don't have to take on the sins of the whole world. I want my people to know that I love them. I love them, and I love them, and I'll always love them. He loves you so much. Look, He's going to give you a whole new body and take you up there to be with Him. Now, who else wants you to live with them forever? How many of you, when people come visit you in your home, you're pretty quick to, after a couple of days, say, y'all ready to go home? Maybe they'll... Right? Some people come stay in your home, they disrupt everything, can't watch what you want to watch on TV, do what you want to do, and you're ready for them to leave. You love them, but it's time to go. God's the opposite. God is saying, I just can't wait to see you. You come and stay all you want to, and I want you with me for eternity. What kind of a God is that? You say, me? Don't I irritate you? Every day, that's what He's saying. Tony, yes, Tony, every day. But I just love your company. I love it when you pray to me. I love it when you talk to me. I love it when you get up there and preach. I love it when you read the Word of God. I just love it. I just love you. and I want you here all the time. I'm going to have a banquet table for you. I want you with me. Now, that's a God. That's a Savior. That's a Lord. But I'll tell you what else he is. That's a friend. He wants you and me with him forever. He will never, ever reject us. So my closing point, and it really is a closing point, is God accepts us. And God's acceptance is the only acceptance. And God accepts us right now, where we are, as we are. He accepts us. He loves us as he loves his son. What did Jesus say? He said, I'll read this to you. Jesus looked around in a circle at those who said about him and said, here are my mother and my brothers. So he's looking at you saying, here's my brothers, my sisters, my mother. They said, your mother's outside, won't you? And he said, these are my family. What's he saying to us? He's saying, you'll never have a more wonderful family than the family of God. We have our own family, our blood family. But you know, they go their ways and things happen. But God's family, the family of God. Listen, you look around here, we're going to be with each other forever. So if I get on your nerves, you may as well get used to it. You're going to be with me a long time. A long time. So that's what he's saying. And he said, I just love you that much. And you're all going to be together. And we're all his mother and brothers and sisters. And whoever, he says, whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother. And he said, I no longer call you servants. A servant does not know his master's business. But I have called you what? Friends. That's over in John 15, so you can read yourself. John 15, 15. He said, I have called you friends, and for all things I heard from my Father, I've made known to you. So listen to me. As I'm wrapping this up, just want you to hear this. Christ wants you with him this day, tomorrow, forever. He says, abide in me, and I'll abide in you. And he said, I am with you always, always, to the end of the ages. So take these four things and summing this up. He loves you. God loves you. God accepts you. God is pleased with you right where you are. And God says, you're complete in me. Now go out here with your head held up and your heart full of joy, because the Lord your God has accepted you as his very own. And he's waiting for you with open arms. And his angels are here to protect you. And nothing, nothing, nothing escapes the eyes of the Lord. God knows. And God cares. And he cares and loves you very, very much. Amen. Amen.